Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From our Gospel reading. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." This is our text. Baptism saturates our service today. It's everywhere. It's in the hymns, it's in the readings, it's even in the prayers. From the beginning of our service with that invocation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, calling us back to our baptism. We're just immersed in baptism. And of course, it's fitting. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, and today we rejoice in the baptism of little Micah Daniel. Christ's baptism, Micah's baptism, your baptism. It's not just a church ritual. Baptism is a divine act. It's a work of God. And in your life, that work began when you were baptized, but God's work in baptism does not end when you are brought to the baptismal font. But that's where it begins. And the effects and the gifts of your baptism are ongoing. They're still yours today. Your baptism, we could say, isn't complete. It's still going on. One of the ways I like to express this is to say that rather than speaking as if we simply were baptized and it's something past and done with, that we say, "I am baptized." You are baptized into Christ. What is baptism for? Well, the scriptures make clear that baptism is for sinners. That was true of the baptism administered by John the Baptizer. Those who came to John were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. St. Luke calls what John did there at the Jordan River a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the same is true of the baptism instituted by Christ. His baptism is for sinners. On Pentecost, St. Peter declared to the great crowd gathered together, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Baptism is for sinners. And so I picture in our reading today, in the Gospel reading, I picture John the Baptizer standing down by the Jordan River, and he's got a great big banner standing there. And this banner says right across the top, "For sinners." And then I picture a great big long line of sinners stretching way back into the Judean wilderness, waiting for their turn in the water, waiting for their number to be called. And then John got the shock of his life. Because the next number that was called, he looks up, and who is it walking into the water but Jesus? Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him, and John looks at Jesus and says, "What are you doing here? Why in the world are you, Jesus, in this line? I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? You're the last one in the world who should be standing under the banner that says, 'For sinners.' You don't belong here, Jesus." You see, John knows the difference between a sinner and a holy one. He knows the difference between someone who is unrighteous and someone who is righteous. He knows it from the inside, because he knows what it is to be a sinner and to be unholy and to be unrighteous. And so he knows where he himself belongs, with the sinners. But when Jesus comes, John knows exactly who he is. One who is holy, and one who is righteous, and one who is clean. You see, right there at the Jordan River, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? John is confessing that he is sinful and unclean, and that Jesus is holy and righteous. Do you come to me? It's as much as if he were to hold up a stop sign and say, man, you're in the wrong line. This is for sinners, and you're not a sinner. You don't belong here. And I picture way off, set far apart from that four sinners banner, another banner that says, for the holy ones. And I picture John directing Jesus over that way. That's where you belong. You're in a class by yourself, Jesus. You're holy, you're righteous, you're the Son of God. You, over there, that's your line. We're sinners here, but you're not. Go over there where you belong, separate from us. Jesus, what are you doing here? But Jesus refuses to leave. With that four sinners banner hanging right over his head, he's going to stay there. He will stand with sinners. He will enter the water with sinners. He will bleed for sinners, and he will go through hell for sinners, and he will die with sinners. So Jesus answered John, John, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. Then Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River with all those other sinners, like he was one of them. And this is what Jesus says. John, what in the world do you think that I came here to do? I didn't come here to stand off by myself as one who is holy and righteous. I came here for sinners and for nothing else. So John, count me a sinner. No, John, count me as the sinner. Because when I step in this water, I am being baptized into the sin of the world to take that sin away. John, it's not that I've got any sin of my own, Jesus says, but I count the sin of the world as my own. I count the sins of those at our Savior Lutheran Church as my own. I'm taking it on my back. I'm owning it, all of it, every single sin. The lust, the greed, the anger, the backbiting, the gossip, the envy, the despair, the abuse, the addiction. I claim their sin as mine. And that's what Jesus is doing here in the water. In the water of your baptism and in the water of Micah's baptism. Fulfilling all righteousness. Fulfilling all righteousness as a man by coming out of the water to live a perfect life before God the Father. A life of perfect love and a perfect fear and a perfect trust. To live a life that conforms perfectly with God's Ten Commandments. And he fulfills all righteousness for you. We call this his active righteousness, how he actively kept God's law whole in thought, word, and deed, both the letter and the spirit. And then our Lord goes from that baptism all the way to the cross. And he fulfills all righteousness as a man who comes out of the water to head to the cross under the wrath of God against sin. Our Lord bore the punishment that we deserve. And that's what we call his passive righteousness, his suffering for us. And that's why he entered the water that day, the place marked for sinners, that he may live a perfect life for sinners and die a perfect death, satisfying the wrath of God for sinners. He is your substitute, and he is Micah's substitute. And that's what Jesus was doing there at the Jordan River. Jesus, once with sinners numbered, he died to sin once for all, the righteous for us unrighteous. And his baptism marked him as the chosen one of God and as the sinner who comes in the place of sinners. That baptism of our Lord marked him for death. The Son of God in the water with his death and his resurrection. But what are you doing here? Well, we know what Micah Daniel is doing in that baptismal water this morning, because the Word of God teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Micah was conceived and born sinful. He needs what baptism gives. He needs the forgiveness of sins. He needs Jesus. So what he was doing here today was being claimed by Jesus, being transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And we know why we were brought to baptism. We said it already this morning. I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you, Almighty God, merciful Father, all my sins and unrighteousness. And that confession has everything to do with your baptism. You see, when we confess our sins and receive the absolution, it's as if we're being brought back to the waters of our baptism. The washing of water with the Word that made you holy and righteous before God, that gives us, clothes us with Christ's own righteousness. You see, baptism is for sinners like Micah and you and me, but it's not for sinners to stay in their sins. No, baptism delivers forgiveness in Jesus' name. And that's why Micah was here today, why you were brought to baptism and even are here today, because Jesus gives what we need. He brings us back to that washing of righteousness in baptism. And yet, when we look at baptism in the gospel reading, Jesus is there, sinners are there, but they're not the only ones. When Jesus was baptized, behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So what is God the Father doing at baptism? And what is God the Holy Spirit doing here? The Spirit is descending on the baptized. He is giving them faith. He is keeping them in the faith, keeping you in the faith. And he is working through the word of promise. He is daily and richly forgiving sins. He is dwelling with the baptized and claiming their bodies, your bodies, as his temple. And what's the Father doing here? He's calling us, calling Micah, his own beloved son. That's what he's doing. And he says that Micah, and that you are well pleasing to him. In your baptism, the Father named you as members of his family, and he gave you the inheritance of his kingdom. And he really did say that you are his own dearly beloved child, and that you are well pleasing to him. And I know what you may be thinking. You're looking at yourself and you're saying, "Nah, he can't be serious. Me? A dwelling place of the Holy Spirit? Me, a beloved son of the Father?" You've got to be kidding. But God doesn't kid around. Your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is no joke. It's holy and it's living and it's real. And that's when Jesus taps you on the shoulder. And you remember those banners that I picture standing by the Jordan River, the four sinners right by the water, and the four, the holy and righteous ones, way, way, way over there. And Jesus steps into the four sinners' line, and he taps you on the shoulder. You, dear sinner. And he points you to the other line, to the one marked for holy ones, for righteous, for saints. And he motions you to go over there, the line that leads to heaven. Incredible. You're kidding, right? I don't belong there, but Jesus says that you do. And he steps into your place in line, and he covers you with his righteousness, and he sends you to his place, to the place marked for him, to the place where the Holy Spirit descends, and where the Father speaks, and where the water makes the conscience clean, and where his righteousness covers you head to toe, inside and out. And he puts you on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. He sets you on the way to heaven. He promises that he has a place prepared for you in the Father's house. He puts you in the line that goes right to the pearly gates and through. And you may want to protest, but he's not moving you from that line. And he's not moving himself from the place where he stands with sinners. He's nailed to that spot where sinners belong, and he has bound you to the spot where he belongs, through water and the word. He won't give you back a place in the line marked for sinners. He says, you don't belong here. You belong there. So what are you doing here? You're baptized. You're daily putting to death that old sinful nature, and you're daily being clothed with Christ to walk in the newness of life. What you're doing here is living out your baptism and journeying on the path that Jesus has placed you on, the path of sins forgiven and of the Spirit descending and the heavens open. And the Father who said to you at your baptism, you are my beloved child, and who will say it again when you stand before his throne. In Jesus' name, amen.